Cassie. Okay, go ahead.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Me walking down the street, feeling so good to me. Yeah, yeah. Having fun with my friends to the end. Women are great. They sure are. Nancy Pelosi, German Chancellor Merkel, right? She's there. Mm-hmm. We also have Amy, somewhere. So anyone named Amy? Amy. There we are. Anyway, well, Happy New Year. This is our first podcast back from the new year. That was a slow rendition of me and my friends. Mm-hmm. I will be singing it every fucking week until I'm done with it.
Nice.
And there's nothing you can do about it. I have a lot of rage and anger, and it only came up when I saw George. I don't know what it is.
Oh, still?
But yeah, but the thing is that I'm gonna work on that. You know, there's some things when I don't see you in a while, and when I see you, I just have this like he's. Get him.
Yeah, with Bryce, it was different. You hugged him. You guys.
Yeah, I would suck I almost sucked his dick.
Yeah, I know.
That's how much. You know what I mean? Yeah, dude. Fuck yeah. If we were gay, dude.
Game over.
Game over, dude. We would dock our dicks together. I would dock dicks and just pee at the same time with you.
Oh, our pee is going to. Who's docking and who's receiving?
No, you know what? That whole theory is wrong. You're docking at the same time. There's no receiving.
Why? Because that's not true.
Yeah,
also,
because
the docking goes deeper if the foreskin is, you know, if you have more of a turtleneck,
I think,
right?
I'm so the only one deep. I'm the only one you can dock with in this room.
That is
true. That is true.
That
is true. That is true. But I could come up with, I can make, you know, one of those Chinese finger puppets. Just
right? Oh, attach it to the
dick. Yeah. So I have it on his. And once we latch on, it's forever.
But if you're gentle,
well, that's
enough,
like,
it comes
that's like
off.
A cat dick. Cat dicks have like little teeth.
Right.
Yeah.
Unless we, then I have to push in.
Yeah.
You want to get out of this? We have to push in.
Touch tips. We have to touch tips.
And that's where it gets weird.
Wow. Okay. 2019.
Yeah. 2019's great. I honestly, like, you know, we talked this year about guests and whatnot. Mm-hmm. And we said to ourselves, we only want to get A. No more B, C listers.
A plus.
Yeah. And I go, George, you think we can get A? He's like, I think so. We're at that level. That Nerdist. That little article that said in California, Tiger Belly, right? Did I say Tiger Belly?
2018 Spotify, we are the number one listened podcast in California.
Yeah, so that made me feel good, you know? And so we're only doing A, and we got, this is the first guest of the year.
Second.
Second guest of the year.
Last week was, yeah.
My bad. Second guest of the year.
Or first, who cares?
Who cares? Who cares? Doesn't matter. No one knows. And... you know, it's so funny because, you know, at the Comedy Store, like I've been at the Comedy Store for 25 years. Mm-hmm. And so when Adam Egot became talent creator, he started bringing in the best. And so like a lot of people like David Spade and whatnot, it took me a while, you know, to feel comfortable, you know, and he brought in this young lady. And I was thinking, oh man, because at the time she had her own show. There's billboards all over town. Remember that?
Yep.
It was called Not Safe. And I was a little intimidated, but, you know, as soon as she opened her little white mouth, you know, it was like pure. You're a pure white person. And
she's a GW?
What?
She's a good white?
She's a good white.
GW?
Definitely a good white. And I'm going to get into details about that. Okay.
Wow.
But how about a nice, warm round of applause? Welcome to Nikki Glaser, everybody.
Yeah,
now you can talk to me.
Gosh, thank you so much.
Was it so hard not to chime in on the whole docking?
Well, he's so fun to watch, so that really was just enjoyable for me to not even have the pressure to be able to talk. And just, you know, where you're kind of on edge trying to think of something, and I was like, this is kind of nice, actually,
that
I get to be mute and just take it in.
You seem like a white, and I'm sorry, I'm going to just say this, Nikki. I mean, I say it only in this room, I talk this way, because... As you can tell, the ones that run it, he is jungle Asian, number one.
Flat face.
My girlfriend here is a half jungle Asian, and I'm full gook, right? And so when there's whites that are in, right, we kind of make it our domain, but in outside of this room, you're still in power.
right. Okay.
Outside of the room, you still have every. Thank you can God. Call your friends.
Okay.
We could tie us up in the forest.
Right.
Hang us in the forest. Do
but
whatever
in
you
this
want.
Room.
In this room, I'm on top.
I love that.
You do?
Oh yeah. I'm tired of being in charge.
You are?
Having everything that you could ever want, and no one ever not saying you can't have whatever. Having every opportunity it's amazing. So
yeah.
That's why I like to come in here and have it taken away from me just a little bit, knowing that I'll get it back.
Yeah, you will get
but
it back.
It's nice to have a little taste of what you guys deal with.
How's it feel?
Not great. I feel oppressed.
I don't like it. The fear. Yeah. The anxiety. Sure. Let me ask you this. I'm sure back in the day when there was real races, like in the South, and I always asked why. I've never asked you this question, but like, I believe that 300 years ago, let's say you grew up in the South and you guys had slaves and whatnot, maybe you had a couple of gooks running around as well, you know what I mean? Doing like,
yeah.
And I believe that you wouldn't be a racist, right? You'd be only doing it because everyone else is doing it.
Yeah.
But what would you say? Would you like say hi to them on the side or what?
Yeah, Nikki, tell us.
Okay. If I was born into a family where everyone has slaves and it's just every one of my friends has slaves.
Yeah.
It's insane to picture that life.
It's insane, I know.
But you're like, that's the weird part about, that's why I have difficulty. Let me be very delicate with all of this.
Yeah.
What a great question.
2019, kicking
what
off.
What kind of slave owner would you have been, Nikki?
Yeah.
Well, I do often get this question, and as a female comic, yeah. I do grapple with this. Yeah. I think you're right, and I also think that there are things we used to do that we were just like, yeah, everyone has a slave. Like, of course you have a slave. Like,
yeah.
That's so normal, and there are things that we're doing now that are going to be equally as, like, that was so ridiculous. Maybe not as equally.
Maybe,
like, as
though.
Slave-y.
Maybe,
but,
though.
By the way, there are still slaves, and I have some. Young women I shuttle across the country and don't let them go to the bathroom by themselves, because then they'll read that little sign. The only hope they have is being in a stall alone reading that sign.
Yeah.
That makes me very sad sometimes.
Yeah,
do you ever see those stalls in the stalls?
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes for women who are like sex slaves.
Oh, right.
The only time they get alone, not with their pimp, is like in a bathroom stall at an airport when they're being kidnapped from their city. And so there's like these signs that are like, if you're a slave, like, call right now. And of course, how?
Yeah.
Oh, so what you're saying to me right now.
Yeah, I forgot.
Is that if I was, let's say I was born in Kalamazoo, Michigan.
Mm.
I just threw that out there.
Yeah.
And I think
is
that's
that a
pretty
real
good
place.
That is really a place. And I think that's a really, that's a
does
place.
Sound like a made up place, though.
It's not.
But it, I know it's real.
I know, I've you know it's real. You've been there. I've been there, too. Yeah. Right. But it sounds made up.
It totally does. Yeah,
it does.
It's great.
Let's say I was in Kalamazoo and I was, you know, poor family, you know, what, trailer homes. Dad's in prison. I'm a girl, 14. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden I get captured, is what you're saying?
Yeah.
I get captured.
Mm-hmm. You're hanging out with some guy that you met on Tinder.
Right.
Seems cool. His brother comes around.
Right.
His brother seems cool. You guys start smoking weed. Then his brother's friend comes over and he puts something in the pipe that makes you feel a little bit more fucked up than you thought you would feel. And then next thing you know, you wake up and you're in some guy's bedroom and you can't get out because he has a gun. Like, that's how it happens.
No! That's happened?
Of course that's how they get him.
Well, I was smoking pot with a guy from Tinder and now I'm tied to a bed. That's terrible.
Yeah. I mean,
but how does the airport think of, now we had you, now you're going to do, you know, we're going to sell you?
If you do not come with us to where we're taking you, we're going to kill your family and everyone you love, and you probably have a son or something, and say goodbye, like, you don't get to say goodbye to anyone, and we're going to take you somewhere else, and we're going to take pictures of you and put them online and sell you.
But don't you have to go through security checkpoint?
Yeah, and you
can't
have
you
to
go
look.
To a TCA
you have to
go,
look like my cousin. You have to look like my daughter. You have to look like, just play it cool. Because,
but you can't go to the TSA and go, "Hey, this guy's."
Sometimes that does happen. Yeah. Like, I remember that flight attendant who was able to kind of look,
sense
yeah,
the situation.
Sense that the young girl next to this older man was feeling uneasy, and she immediately you know, brought it to the authorities' attention, and sure enough, she was a sex slave.
Yeah.
Wow.
And she was, what, 15 or something like that?
It's usually, I mean, it's happening so, it's a big thing. I know.
It's a big problem in the Philippines, like where I'm from. It's a massive problem. And I knew a guy who actually runs, it's not an orphanage, but it's basically like a shelter for young girls who had been rescued from the sex trade.
Wow.
And it's terrible. These girls are so just psychologically fucked.
I mean, they're ruined.
From the age of 9.
Yeah. You know? Okay,
I mean, it's done.
I just hypothetically, I'm just going to throw, I didn't do this.
Right.
But let's suppose if I was a guy.
Let's suppose.
Let's suppose that participated in, you know, like, you know.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
Don't confuse sex trade for legal prostitution.
Yeah, but it makes me feel...
Prostitution with an adult is not...
I'm going to throw it out there.
Because you've had hookers, I get it. But that's different from capturing a young girl and then forcing them into the trade.
But what I'm saying this is that...
But are you a part of the problem?
Am I a part of the problem? Because there have been places I've gone to in countries... Well, they're not underage, but, you know, it's... And I don't know what their story is.
But if you go, hey, can I get the goods? They got them. They right. got underage, but they just
I don't know the code word.
Them.
I don't know the code word.
It's which is, it's just to ask,
right.
probably.
I see.
But you know what I think you could do is convince yourself that maybe the only good part of this girl's day was being with someone who was nice and nurturing to her as opposed to really
well,
cruel.
I beat them.
Oh, okay.
No, oh, okay.
But I think that's how...
Cut that out? Are we going to cut that out?
Right. Yeah. Yeah, flag it, cut it out. I'm so sorry.
Clearly, it's 2019, babe.
My bad,
You know, we don't beat them anymore.
Yeah, we don't beat them
anymore. No.
We I'm just, kidding. You know that. It's a joke, everybody. Comedy. It's comedy.
No, I mean, when you get talking about this, you're right. There's so many women that are doing it totally... like for themselves, and they run it themselves, and they do it in such a safe way. But there's a lot of it that is just not, and,
yeah.
wow.
and it's so hard to regulate it, especially in like a third world country.
Yeah,
like the Philippines.
Yeah, yeah.
Like they don't, you're not, we don't get, you know, IDs as like young girls. Like I never had an ID when I was over there.
Wow,
like
I
didn't, you know, there's no way to verify someone's age out there really. And like you can drink by the time, like you can ask any 5-year-old to be like, buy me cigarettes, buy me alcohol, and they come back with cigarettes and alcohol. Like it's so not regulated.
Oh, I feel so terrible because I have been in Thailand and in your country. I forgot what it's called.
Puerto Rico.
Yeah.
He doesn't like
whatever.
To acknowledge us as
yeah.
a real
whatever
democratic
no,
society.
It's a beautiful place. It's a beautiful place. Beautiful islands and beautiful people to dance and they,
sovereign
they
too.
Boar meat.
We're
I love
free.
It. They're sovereign.
It's actually not true because the Koreans are really
we're the worst.
Fucking us.
Really?
Yeah,
they're
we're the
fucking
worst.
Us.
Koreans are the worst. But I'm gonna say this: I've seen like older white men mm-hmm. with you know holding hands with a girl that's obviously underage,
mm-hmm.
and he's like, and an 80-year-old white dude who's like, I got one, you know, and it's like it might you can hear my heart shatter into my body.
Mm-hmm.
It's so fucking sad.
Yeah.
And there's nothing you can say.
No. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I mean, I watched this one documentary in Thailand. There's like neighborhoods where at night they film child porn with their kids because it's the only way to survive. And they make it's the only way to make money. And if they stop doing it, they also pay for everyone in their like little neighborhood to live.
Oh,
and so everyone's paid off and protecting them.
That's the worst thing I've ever heard
Dude,
in my fucking
I know,
life,
I'm
Nikki.
I'm so sorry to even
what
say
What the fuck?
It.
Why did I bring it up with the slavery?
No.
I started with the slavery and it went into this.
I don't know. We just need to be aware.
I can't see her anymore. What happened?
I want a bird box from this situation.
Oh, bird box.
So,
speaking of bird box.
I haven't even seen it. I'm just referencing it.
I'm telling
it all
you
the
right
time.
Now.
I will never see it. I will never
I'm
see it.
I'm telling you right
don't.
Now.
That's a good idea. Don't.
I think it's wrong that everyone's seeing it. It's disturbing
it's,
content. No one should be seeing this.
It's not
even
I wish
that.
I wish it was just that.
Really?
It's actually
just
a horrible acting.
Oh, really?
The Happening?
It's a horrible movie.
It's the Happening... Part two.
With no resolution.
I don't know
with
what
no resolution.
The Happening either.
The Happening was M. Night Shyamalan's masterpiece.
Oh, really?
0% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Masterpiece.
No way.
Yeah, yeah. It's terrible.
Oh.
And I love, what's her name? Sandra Bullock.
Yeah, and
Bullock.
Sarah Paulley's really
Sarah
good.
Sarah Paulley's great
and
in it.
And you know who was terrible in it? And I hate don't to say this because I love him. Is John Malkovich.
Oh, yeah, I heard
he
did something really weird.
He's just being
well, no,
John
he was
Malkovich.
Just like Cyrus the Virus from Con Air. He played the exact same guy.
Yeah.
Just he was just too
so big,
he was too
overacting.
Yeah, overacting,
extra, yeah. And then a problem like that is that that's definitely a job that he got where he's like, oh, these are young directors, right? This is a Netflix thing,
oh, yeah.
And I'm John Malkovich, you're lucky to have me. Yeah. And I'm going to make the choices. Like, no, who's going to give him notes?
Yeah.
Go, you can't. Hey, can you? I think you're being too broad. They're probably going, oh, yeah, that's just what he does, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. That, and could you tell him, no, I'm not going to, you know what I mean? And then they just, that there it is.
Yeah.
You know?
The first 10 minutes was good, and that's about it.
Yeah.
Really? Mm-hmm.
Okay. Conceptually, it was good.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
She's like,
the
rest
what's the matter?
Garbage. I just don't know that I can't. Is the first 10 minutes when it all everything chaos starts happening?
Yeah.
Okay, see, that's the part that I'm, like, so scared of.
Why?
And it is
scary. That,
because I think a lot about, like, suicide is, like, something that I, like, struggle with, like, thoughts of it and depression and stuff. Mm-hmm. And, like, I hate suicide. I have lost a lot of friends to it. And so for people to, like, see something that makes someone, everyone around me killing, like, watching a movie where everyone's killing themselves is, like, so triggering for me.
Wow.
But I can't imagine.
And just, like, even hearing about it, I'm like, no, everyone's watching this. No.
Yeah. Her stepbrother. Can I say that?
Yeah. Yeah.
Her stepbrother.
Yeah,
I have lost people, too.
She's lost people, yeah, too.
Yep.
But what my thing is, I'm trying to think of what can I possibly epidemic. See that could throw me there, throw me over the edge. Like, I'm trying to think of what her sister saw. Her sister was a happy person. Like, what are you seeing?
In the movie, they're seeing something.
It is so horrifying.
And then they're like, yeah, so horrifying. And they never explain what it is.
I hate that.
Well, it's supposed to be, he did sort of explain. He says in certain religions, they even talk about it. It's like it's a mix of your biggest sorrows, your biggest fears, your biggest, all like put together. And you see that image.
You know what mine would be?
What?
Him doing stand-up.
You already experienced it, though.
Yeah, yeah. If I was in the movie Bird Box, right?
He's killing.
And I'm looking at something like, what's going on? I go, George is doing stand-up. I just squirt blood all over. You're the worst comic I've ever seen.
Jesus.
I almost killed myself that night. Oh, don't ever do it. You're just going to keep doing it, but don't ever do it again. All right. But it's him. What would yours be?
I don't know. That's horrible. That's your thing?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, I know what mine would be.
What?
If I was watching my sister getting tortured.
Oh.
For me, it would be family.
Because my sister is my ultimate love of my life.
Yeah.
We're attached at the hip. I would probably, for sure.
Yeah, that does it for I have a sister, too. That would do it for me, mm-hmm. too. Or just me, like, from a bad angle. like you know, one of those pictures of the Comedy Store that they post, and you go, "That couldn't have been the best one. That was the best one."
Ah!
Yeah, that's my Bird Box thing.
Yeah,
or my sister being tortured.
Yeah,
okay, either or.
Same.
Either
yeah.
Same.
I think mine would be George also having sex. What is going on? Right?
Think about himself.
Yeah, and I would just like gouge my eyes out.
Okay, so they never explain what it is.
No,
okay.
To everyone, it's something different to everyone.
I just assumed it was a thing, just from hearing people talk about it, I assumed it was a thing that just made you go psychotic and want to kill yourself. I didn't know that it was actually a thing that was compelling, that was so awful.
Yeah, that they don't even go into detail. So you could be right what you're saying. It could be something that is, it could just be nothing.
Yeah, but even if it is something like a hallucinogen, it's still making you see something. So it's like basically like an acid trip that's making you see something that's not real. Right. You know?
That's so horrifying. I don't like end of the world stuff. It freaks me out.
He loves that stuff.
It's my favorite genre of movie. It's my favorite genre.
Do you think it's going to happen? Do you think we're going to like face something like that soon?
Well, I'm going to tell you the two things that could happen, my friend. Mm-hmm. And the two things that could happen, Nikki Glaser.
He's going to reference the core.
No, I'm not going to reference the core.
Let's see what happens.
The Earth stops moving.
It's not going to happen.
Let's see what happens.
Wait a second. I don't know if I can handle these. Like, I'm very delicate with this stuff. Do you really have things that are gonna
That's why I'm leaning
scared?
Forward like this.
Oh no.
No, it's not.
Is there like a meteor?
There's two things. Not a meteor.
Super volcano?
No, these are two things that could actually happen. Okay.
Okay.
The number one thing is peak oil.
Have
you heard of peak oil?
Yes. Fog of War?
Tell me.
It wasn't Fog of War. The movie was called Collapse.
Collapse, yes.
Yeah. And basically it's the theory that, you know, oil isn't something that the Earth just constantly makes. It's we just have enough. We have it. Fuel, we have it. Once we use it, it's gone.
Mm-hmm.
It's not something that the Earth generates, mm-hmm. right? And peak oil is the point of production where we're at the tip, and then we can't grab enough for, I don't know how to say it.
There's not enough to go around.
To go around. Yeah. We're at a point where, yeah, is that what I'm, mm-hmm. yeah, yeah.
We run out.
What's so funny? Because I can't explain it, fucker? Because I'm not a scientist? Is that why? Are you laughing?
No.
All right.
You just said him wanting to, having sex or making love yeah. would want to make you murder yourself.
Well, that is true.
And now you're
screaming. Yeah, he can do that.
He gets a little bit.
Yeah, but if they, also, can I just say this, all right? What I say about this room? You know what I mean? Yeah. That's what it is. Okay.
What it is.
When out there, I'm going to fold his laundry and do all kinds of stuff.
Right?
Love I'm going to do his taxes out there and everything.
They love each other. Yeah.
We love each other. But that's the one thing.
Great documentary Collapse, but it scared the shit out of me.
Oh, it's a documentary.
It's a documentary mm-hmm. called Collapse.
Okay, yeah. This is going to scare the shit out of me. Okay, so what happens?
But worth watching.
Worth watching. And the second thing that can happen is also the singularity. Mm-hmm. Where machines
Wait
become
a second,
conscious.
But what happens if we run out of oil? What's the chaotic?
Well, the problem is that all our food comes from different countries. We get blueberries from Brazil. We get strawberries. So, and all these things are delivered through modes of transportation that have to do with fossil fuels, right? Oil.
Right.
When we run out of oil, the whole system will break down.
Got it.
Right. No one will be able to drive. We're not going to be able to receive certain things.
Import, export.
And we'll just break down as a society and it'll be chaos.
Because everything's riding on oil.
Right. Everything. Because
and
everything.
So the only things that will work are calculators.
Yeah, but if we don't. I know. I know.
83s.
Just damn it.
That is true, Nikki. Yeah.
Okay.
But the thing is that.
We have those.
And we're not creating an alternative power source, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's like eventually one day. We're just going to run out, and if we don't have anything to like as a substitute, I think we're going to break down, and society's going to break down. The second thing is singularity. If when machine gets consciousness,
oh, it's going to happen,
right?
Fast.
And then yeah, and then we'll have a war with machines, and it'll be like Terminator.
I like that ending better.
More dramatic.
That one.
It's more dramatic.
I feel like it's going to bring us together.
People, well, the thing I hear about that one is that it's going to happen so fast.
Mm-hmm.
It'll just be like. All of a sudden, just now. It'll happen and then we're done. There's not going to be a war because it will be over as soon as it starts.
Whoa.
So what is that documentary where the guy who created the...
Where
he says the trajectory has been slow so far, but once it goes up this way, it goes the trajectory goes straight up.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
So we're all going to be like slaves to robots.
When you're saying that it's going to happen just like that...
Can we fuck the robots first for a little bit? Before they take over, will they let us have sex with them?
A little bit.
I want to have some robot sex.
Yeah, yeah. I wonder what robot vagina is like.
Not as fun as robot dick.
I mean...
Why'd you say that like that?
I mean, to be able...
With your eyes all googly-eyed and your mouth like that. That's fucking crazy.
Think about it. Like, to be able to construct... the inner cavernous region of a woman using fucking metal or not metal but using
like a
synthetic stuff
is
not as easy as having just a rod of
really a robot
chunk.
A robot
I'm all about robot dick
the robot all
I already watched that kind of porn where they're like basically machine
like gun thing
what you're telling me robots can't
those.
Get Pringles
like
can't get a Pringle can and like dishwashing
like his self-made
but
fleshlight. It won't talk.
No, what a robot! My brother and I made a
homemade
vagina
fleshlight. Yeah.
Okay. We
did
took Pringles.
Even, oh, okay.
Right. A plastic glove. Right.
Brilliant.
Two
sponges
and some rubber bands. Right. Yeah. And we took the Pringles out.
Yeah.
We did. We constructed it.
Should have kept it.
Right.
In.
How
my
old
brother
are
you? Made my brother made one 3 days ago.
Oh, he still
Arizona,
does it.
Because
he had some stuff left over from last time we
supplies?
Visited our parents' house.
Yeah.
Because I found one Pringles can. I go, well, where are mine?
Did it work?
And he goes, I don't only one.
We have to
I go,
share.
Well, then you use it.
Okay, good.
Wait, did it work?
Yeah, it works.
Was it great?
It's great. So why can't a robot just go there, get it, and stick it
have
inside its robot
body?
Have you ever
used one that you like buy? Like that's actually made? Yeah, and they're good?
Yeah, like a bunch of them here around the house.
And they're good?
Well, here's the problem with it. Here's the problem
they're
with it.
They're not warm.
Oh, they can be warm.
Oh.
Yeah, you use
warming.
There's oils.
The warming oils.
Warming oils. You can make it warm.
Okay.
And here's another thing.
Because that's a problem I have with dildos. They're not warm.
Yeah, they're always just so sterile and cold.
Yeah.
And
well, it's also you. Maybe you can invent something.
Shark Tank.
Yeah, we can sell it.
I've been trying my curling iron, but then it's you have a brief window. And then it's very painful. God, that sounds like the worst thing I've ever said in my life.
But here's the problem with the ones that you buy at the store. This is that fleshlights now have, it's like a receptacle, right? So that if you put the oil in, you know, it's a hard cover, right? So the oil just goes in and then you unscrew it and you wash it. But the problem with that is that you need to be able to squeeze the rubber.
Yeah.
Because it's so cavernous, you know, it's like...
Yeah, you want to be able to give it...
Right.
What, friction.
Yeah.
So you most guys just take the thing out of the receptacle and then you use the oil. But then it just... It's a messy business. Yeah. It's all over your leg, you know what I mean? And you're like a, and then when you come,
your face doesn't look like you're enjoying it.
Yeah, yeah. Like this, and you go, you come, right? And then with the oil and the cum, and it's all over. It's there is an extra shame and guilt there.
Oh, you feel shameful.
Yeah, yeah. Or you just lay there and go, I'm almost 50. What's wrong? Do
you know what I mean? Do you have that feeling like? When do you not have that feeling masturbating after? Do you feel shame after masturbating?
I don't feel shame. I researched it because I was feeling it so frequently, and it's called like postcoital depression, postcoital blues.
Oh, really?
It's like an album. I think it's almost like equivalent to like an adrenaline dump. Oh. So I always feel a little bit sad. Like I'm like even I mean any type of as long as there is a climax. The afterwards is never just like pure joy. It might feel like a release, like, but there's, or maybe it's just, you know, since I was raised Catholic and that's just forever ingrained, the shame. But I do feel a little bit sad.
Do you feel shame when you come?
No, I feel victorious. Skip around like it's the greatest. Like it's so hard for me to come that like when I do, I'm like, I can't believe I just did that thing down the street and I'm good for a month because that's how long it'll take for me to do it.
Remix.
When you come though, is it usually you do it? You doing it to yourself or is it a guy doing it?
Sometimes it's a guy, but. It's got to be like a certain guy because I like it's I don't sleep around. It's it has to, if I hook up with my ex, then he can get the job done. But generally, it's myself, and it's just takes so long.
Even by yourself,
because I didn't start masturbating until like 2 years ago. Like I just never did.
It's crazy.
I was because my whole adult life I was on antidepressants for pretty like a lot of it.
Yeah,
and I think that had something.
Oh my god, terrible! Because I was on Zoloft for a really long time, and I swear to you, it was the most frustrating thing. But as soon as I got off of it. As the years passed, it got so much better.
Yes. I got off it and like a month later, I was like, I need to jerk. I've never felt that I need to masturbate. I've never understood just like sitting on your couch and getting like seeing a hot guy on TV and being like, I want to go trick. Like I never understood that thing that girls do. I would always ask my friends like, when do you do it? Like what? I don't even get it.
Yeah.
Like I just never got horny for it. But I was a horned up bitch like a lot of times for sex. Like I could get horny if like I was presented with a sex situation. Yeah. But on my own, it never occurred to me. And then after I quit Zoloft, I was like, oh, I get it. And then I was jerking off like all the time.
Yeah.
And it was great. And now it's just a little bit more elusive to me. I just think my porn surges have become a lot more depraved, and that's not helpful. Mm. And then,
what kind of porn are you into besides robots?
I really like where the girl is tied up. Okay. I love that. Mm-hmm.
Wait, how many men?
Just skipped in my body. Oh my
There's
gosh.
A Hungarian one I watch where it's like they and 10 of them, and they pin her down, and they basically. Compete for who's going to impregnate her. No, she wants it.
Oh.
She wants it. Yes. They don't pin her down like
she
that. It's a cream pie
You're doing
one,
like
but
some sort of like old
but she
school
is
showcase.
Like and every time they cream pie her, the lady there's like an older lady who tells her this might be the one that gets you pregnant. She's like, ha ha ha!
Wait,
she's really happy.
Why is there an older lady in this?
Because basically, the older lady supervises. This woman wants to get pregnant. And so she has 10 men, like 10 provincial Hungarian men, just like circle around her.
I'm into that. I'm not into the pregnant thing. Like
she's like, Kalilah, you're fucking weird, Kalilah.
No, it's not weird. It's not weird at all. I totally get it, though. All my friends are into that shit.
The cream pie, yeah.
Big time. Or like the pregnant thing. Even if like you don't want kids. Like I did have a guy recently be like, I want to get you pregnant. And I was like, oh my God, that feels great to hear. Even though I don't want kids and I don't want to plan a family with you. But yeah, I like tied up. I like lots of guys.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I like
Taxi?
What's that?
Taxi porn.
I don't know.
What's taxi porn?
I think it's just me then.
What is
still,
what the fuck is taxi
porn?
What
are you talking about? It's a Czech taxi porn.
It's always a Czech guy who picks up a girl. She's like, can you take me to the library? And he's like, okay. And then, like, they just have this. You have to watch an hour long conversation first.
Is it real?
No, but they act out.
It's not real, dude.
It's not real, but they do a 45 minute conversation leading up to, like.
Do you watch all the 45?
It's like, you know what
no,
I hate?
You do not.
I like the build up.
You know what
do
I hate?
You really?
I love improv.
You know what I hate about porn? When they try to act. Like, here's what. You know what was the thing for a while? Was it called Surprise Cream Pie?
Oh, I don't like surprise cream
right,
pie.
Right, but like, but it's all rehearsed, right?
Yeah.
Surprise cream pie is rape, babe.
I know. I understand right. that, but the one that's why you don't really see it for real. It's always rehearsed.
Yeah.
So whenever the girls can't act,
it's pretty bad.
Yeah. Right. So when the guy comes inside her, she's like, "I told you not to come inside me,"
and then proceeds to bend over and show it.
Why did you do that? And it's like, oh, you gotta go to fucking Meisner school. Because that's not real.
You're that angry at the screen?
That's why I only watch porn where what I go, I have a membership to kink.com because it's like it's all girls tied up. It's like bondage. It's a lot. I like when the girl is being forced to have an orgasm and she like almost doesn't want to, but it's like
a lot of Japanese porn is like that where they just have all the gadgets around and then she's basically like,
I like girls that are like, stop it. Yeah. And they're like, nope, you got to. I'm sorry,
that's
girl.
Right there. That's rape too, right?
No.
She wants to, but oh, I like the ones. This is my favorite.
You're going to go crazy.
My favorites are the ones where the girl has to ask permission to. Like, she wants to, and he's like, no, you're not allowed to yet. And she's like, but I need to. And he's like, did I say
that's
you
what
could,
do?
You dumb whore?
Wow.
Sorry. Like, I like all that stuff. I like, because I like that in sex sometimes too. Like, not every time, but I like to be like choked and called a stupid whore. Yeah. Like I like to, because I like to play like I'm a dumb whore, because I'm like, that's the last thing I am.
Right.
But I really like to be one sometimes, because I'm like, it gives me like, I don't know. I gave a blowjob one morning recently and I was like, I need to start more days off being a whore, because I had such a great day of like, I was productive. I was like in a good mood. I was like, I'm a whore. Yeah. Like, I just felt like a rogue whore going throughout my day. I felt like I could do anything. I felt very empowered by it.
Wow.
And it was just like, I just like doing something whorish to start my day. And that was what I learned about, like, that's what I wanted more of in 2019. It's like, I'm like, I need to do more like slutty things in the morning. Yeah.
But that's so charitable to just give a straight blowjob to completion. Mm-hmm. Like, who is this person, and do you even like him to enough for that?
Yes.
Okay. Well, that.
He was not going to be able to make me come. I just like knew that when I hooked up with it. Like, it was in the morning, and I just was like, you deserve this. Like, I felt like good about it, and I was like, I'm good at this, and it's the first time I felt, because I'm not having sex right now, like unless I'm in a committed relationship or it's with my ex-boyfriend who is like, we know the deal. So, but with guys that I'm like dating and stuff, unless I'm like, they're my boyfriend, I can't sleep with them, because it just, I'll get hung up on them and then they won't like me anymore. It's happened too many freaking times. So now I'm like, if I don't have sex, I'm like, what do I have to get them off? And like, I used to just never give blowjobs because I would just have sex, because that's so much easier than giving a blowjob. Mm. Like, why would I blow you if I could just lay back and get it? And like, enjoy something too, you know? Yeah. So I just, but now I'm like, oh, you got to get better at blowjobs again, because they're all you have if you're going
to
hook up.
So you're not even allowed to receive anything, like no dry humping, mm-mm. No finger blasting, nothing.
But they're just not like so much. You know when you look up with a guy and you're just like, he just isn't gonna get this, and it's just, it would take a whole.
What if a guy said, "I'm just gonna eat your vagina until you come."
But that's not enough.
That's how I say it.
Okay, but this guy.
I want to eat your vagina.
Okay,
until
but
you
that's
come.
Not enough. They can
with the hand.
You can try and sell that.
And I just wasn't. Yeah. Sometimes I just not in the mood to like. I was more turned on to just do something to him than I was to receive something. It was the morning. I wasn't in the mood for it, but I was like, it was.
But there is something of a victory in knowing you can get someone there.
I don't know why I'm sweating. I'm like, my face is sweating right now.
I was good at it, and I was like, now I'm good at it, and I don't care.
All right, Nikki.
So I'm not.
You're the best. Can I just say something, Nikki?
What?
Nikki, I don't know this about you. I see you at the club. I go, hi. How was your set? You go, oh, good. All right, have a good drive home safe. Yeah, this is a side of you I've never seen, so that's why I'm sweating.
Okay,
well, what are you doing right now? Wait, you crazy, crazy?
When did you guys first meet, though?
Like, at the store.
At the comedy store.
A while ago?
Yeah.
I mean,
First time you brought me on stage, I remember I was like, he was like, well, she's getting up a lot, so she's going to be funny, I guess. Like,
that was your intro?
I can tell you were like kind of pissed, like, well, she's getting lots of stage time, so I know you're going to like her.
But Nikki, can I tell you why?
Yes.
I'm going to tell you why, and I'm going to be as honest as I can.
Oh, no.
Okay. Is that the comedy store used to be, there was a rule where you have to work there, and then you have to 10 years, and then you become a regular, and then you'll get spots. And Mitzi pretty much really did that. She was very picky, but fame or people that were great was not in her register, in her brain. If somebody had already made it on her own, she had no interest. She wanted to find people herself.
Well, that's stupid.
I know, it's very dumb.
It's stupid.
And that's why no one came to the club. We had terrible comedians. And so when new people started coming in, right, in my head, there was a time where I was kind of like, oh, there's David Spade. Of course. Mm-hmm. Oh, there's Norm Macdonald. You know, these are not store people.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Right? And so in the beginning, I was kind of like, I knew you were funny. I knew that you had the ability and,
right.
and the talent.
Right.
Right. But there was a time where I was like, oh, well, there goes the store.
Yeah.
But now I rather have it the way it is. I love it because it made my career.
I mean, the store is the best place to go now.
Yeah. Because without like Judd Apatow, I would never gotten Love. Without Love, I wouldn't have got the sitcom that I'm on now. Right. And so it put me back on the map. But at the time when you started going around,
you're so good in Love.
Thank you. But I literally,
I just remembered you in love.
Yeah, but in my head, I'm like, it reinvented my situation. Podcasts.
Yeah.
This podcast has to do with meeting Kalila, but also the resurgence of Joe Rogan and all these people coming back, Joey Diaz and Theo Vaughn and Andrew Santino and all these fucking people, D'Elia. So it. At the end of the day, I'm so glad. But at that time, you know, that's how I was bringing people up. It wasn't just you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But
that's so funny that you're like, yeah, that rings a bell, that intro.
Yeah, but it does ring a bell. But are my intros good now?
Oh, you have the best intros
well, then,
now.
What the fuck, Nikki?
I'm just saying that your opinion of me meant something to me. So I remembered. I was like, oh, I'm going to have to prove myself to him, which is fine. I get it. But it was because I didn't know that was the case, that anyone kind of felt that way. But you were always nice to me. That's
I want to say something, like another compliment, and it might come across as sexist, but we might edit it out. I have to just say what my heart says.
Yeah, you know what I mean? I love it.
And there's a lot of female comedians that hate the Comedy Store. It's a rough room. Mm-hmm. Even the energy, it's better now, but still, it's a dark room. You have a lot of alpha males there. The rooms are tight at times. It's not the easiest room, especially the OR, especially during a weeknight. And anybody that can survive in that atmosphere. Also, it's got a stacked lineup. So when you're following five or six aggressive kind of comedians, it can be difficult. And I always see you do a good job. And also, it's just a testament to your talent because of all those elements I'm saying. It's I feel like it's harder for women, like talking to Natasha or Morgan Murphy and Whitney's done this show, you know.
Yeah.
And so it's a testament to your talent that you can go in there and kill, deliver your point of view, your style, and it's, you know, we welcome you. We your family there.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
It definitely, it used to feel that way. You're so right about it being a boys club. I mean, I came to LA in 2006 and I would go up at the store at the open mic from 2006 to 2009. It was not a welcoming place
terrible.
For women. And there were some guys that you were cool with, and there were sweet guys that worked. I mean, there's always been sweet guys at the store.
Yeah.
But some are psychopaths, and they were not nice, and they were bullies, and they've been let go, thankfully. Yeah, a lot of them
I can say some names right now.
I mean, yeah, I could.
I can say some names right now.
Yeah,
yeah, you can.
Yeah. I've had some, like, guys.
Initials, D.A.
Yes,
you know D.A.?
D.A.
Yeah.
No, but I.
Fun game.
Yeah, let's throw out an initial.
No, I don't want to. I'm scared of the people that I hate from there. Like, they were just like so, just the meanest things I've ever had happen to me was by comics and still ones that I'm like. Ari Shaffir was part of a group that did something to me that I was like, you two are the meanest boys I've ever met in my life. And Ari is now a friend of mine and is like softened as he's gotten older. But it was a part of that, like, let's make women feel terrible about themselves and like.
Or let's bully them. Beat the shit out of
Bobby Lee.
Yes, exactly.
You know, you beat the shit out of me 3 times.
Who?
Ari Shaffir.
Beat up.
Really?
To where I was bleeding from my face.
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Yeah. He kicked my face like 30 times.
What?
Yeah, where I was bleeding. And then he did it 3 weeks in a row. And the 3rd week, I went into the office to call the police, and Steve Renazzisi pulled the phone cord out of the wall not to call the police.
Oh, my God.
And that was exactly during that time period.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, so I witnessed it as well.
Dude, that's terrible. I'm so sorry that happened
to you. I'm totally fucking fine. I'm a man. Don't ever come at me like that, Nick. All right? I'm a survivor. All right?
No, aren't we? We're fine.
Yeah, we're fine. We're fine.
We've been.
I need to get through. I need to like.
That's crazy.
Persevere.
And then Ari came on the show and convinced him to stick a candy bar up his butt.
Are you guys cool now? What's going on? What he beat? So is he? Does he recognize how insane that was to beat you?
It's a part of the Comedy Store folklore.
Ugh.
You're a legend. It's a legendary story.
Why
don't I? He came on this, and I stick a Kit Kat in my butthole.
A Snickers
in my butthole.
Yep. Did it feel kind of good?
It felt messy.
Okay.
It felt like you were fucking Mr. Glass.
Did you have any?
You know what I mean?
Very weak.
There's no bone there. It's like his bone shattered in my butthole.
Did you have lube?
His dick bone? No, he just stuck it in there.
Oh, but, my God.
Here's how he made it up to me. He called me on a blue.
Yeah, I don't understand why didn't he have that shoved up his ass.
I know. That's true.
In hindsight,
you said Asians ran this room.
Well, when I mean say Asians, I mean Jews.
Jews. Yeah.
Okay. We're all the same, working for the Jews. But he called me one day and he goes, "Hey, it's me." I go, "What are you calling me for?" I didn't talk to him like in 8 years or 7 years.
What?
I go, "What are you calling me for?" He's like, I'm, you know, I went through some stuff. I've been reflecting back at my behavior. And he goes, I really deeply am sorry. And I go, okay. And he goes, and I have a TV show. Do you want to do it? I go, yeah.
Listen.
That's how quick. When you say TV show, dude. You could have like done some really terrible things, like burn my home down.
I mean, he kicked you in the face 3 times.
I know.
And... Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And it was about the reason why he beat me was because of over Natasha and Steve Brennan. They were all in the story, Ren and Zizzy.
What?
And so, you know, in a storytelling show, what was it called?
I'm dying this, up here.
This is not happening. So he had the show, but we did the show. We told that story of how that all came about with me, Natasha, Steve, and Ari.
We did it
at the Cheetah, yeah.
Oh, my God.
And it really was so therapeutic. And because everyone had their little part to play in it. Mm-hmm. And if you guys are interested, I know you guys are Tiger Belly fans. I've talked about it before, but go look at it.
Oh, I'm definitely going to check that out.
Let me ask you this. Have you always gotten along? Do you have any enemies in comedy?
Any wars?
Yeah, I have someone who's in it. Like, there was someone who tried to, like, ruin me for when I first started in St. Louis. There was, like, the girl, like, the best chick comic on the scene was like 5-6 years older than me and just did not want anything to
I don't want to know who she is, but would I know her if I knew?
I don't know. That's 50-50, I would say, know her. Because she's been around, and she was around. She's not so much anymore, but she was really funny. I looked up to her a ton. Like, she was leagues above me. Like, I didn't even imagine being that she would ever be jealous of me or care about me. She's like the top dog, and I just started.
In St. Louis.
Yeah, but it was a good scene.
Yeah,
you know what it matter, like, how when you're so young, like, the guys that how, doing it
but
three
when
years
you first start, right?
Yeah.
And you know, because you have that fear of going up, right? Am I going to be able to do it even? But once you start doing it and you're going, oh, I can do this, there really is a life-altering change in your life. The way you feel about yourself, the way you view the world, mm-hmm. and you know that this is going to be a part of what you're going to be doing.
Purpose.
There is a life-altering change that happens.
It's purpose.
It's purpose.
Suddenly you're like, oh, I have a reason for existing.
Yes.
It like felt like that answer to me. I was just like,
you're about to make me cry because in your
God.
Eyes right now, I could feel like you're feeling it.
Yeah, I mean, comedy saved my life because I was anorexic and I was going to die and I like wanted to die. I hated my life. It was like the worst existence. I had no reason to live. I wanted to be an actress. I sucked at acting. It like wasn't, not I sucked, but I wasn't naturally good and I wasn't going to be the best.
Yeah.
There was no chance of me being just a Meryl Streep. And I was just like, well, there goes my dream. And I'm anorexic and I can't do it. I'm going to be a mom or a teacher. I'd rather kill myself, which I'm going to because I can't eat and I don't know how to start eating again. It was just like, my life sucked. And then someone was like, you should do comedy because I was so funny. I had developed a sense of humor quickly, I was always funny, but I developed a personality and I like started being funnier and saying funnier things and trying to make friends at college because I was so sick looking. No one would be my friend unless I was like over the top.
Wow.
So I became really funny like overnight. People started telling me I should be a comedian. I was like, okay, I'll check that out. I checked it out. I signed up for a show. I did it. It went amazing. And then I was like, done. And then I started I started eating like shortly after that.
Wow.
So it literally saved my life. Like when you say it changes you.
Yeah.
Because then you start looking at the world differently and you're like, I'm a comedian now. It changes it's like meditative in a weird way. Like I think it really.
Yeah. Or you do a show and they're like, there's a crowd. That feeling. There's people here. Oh my God.
Oh, when did they start to show up for you?
Or no, or just you just even do like, because when I started, there was like three people in a coffee shop.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Right? And then eventually you get invited to do a show at a club. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, you know, the promoter's good and there's, you see 40 people and you're like, oh my God, there are people here. And that feeling, and you do 3 minutes.
Was like,
that's
good.
So
I just am so glad I have a reason to live.
I have no reason now. I show up at the show. I go up on stage. I'm dead inside.
I find other things now. I have to find other things because now it doesn't give me. I don't look at the world like, what's the joke of the day? And like, I don't walk outside. Yeah. Like, I really am not looking at the world like I did at that time anymore. I don't get the same adrenaline rush from doing stand up. I don't like.
Yeah.
You know,
but
you
did from a blowjob. Maybe something as simple as that.
It is. It really is because I didn't have sex until I was like 21 because I was starting comedy and like I was, sex stuff was very delayed for me. So I'm still like I hooked up last night. Like I was like, oh my God. I'm a 34-year-old woman who's like really relates to like Taylor Swift, like early Taylor Swift.
Early Taylor Swift.
Because now her stuff is too advanced.
Christianity, is that why?
No, I was just like a prude. I was just scared of boys and like scared of the world.
What were your parents like?
My mom's like, they're so supportive. They're so cool. They're like, I don't know. I always liked boys, but I was terrified of them. I just was like, I can't ever picture myself like kissing a boy. So then I didn't kiss a boy until super late. And then I started drinking and I was like, now I can have sex. I can do anything. And then I quit drinking and then it was like having to start all over again.
Wow. Like for me, I was pretty much unfuckable because I was little weird. I was a weird guy.
Yeah.
I took a photo actually of, I'm going to show you a photo.
Did comedy make you fuckable too?
Yeah. Like, it gave me the confidence.
Yeah.
But I was at my parents' house and I took a photo, right? I'm going to show you what I look like. Mm. Right? This is me at a coffee shop. This is, I used to work at a coffee shop.
Oh, you're adorable.
Right?
So cute. Yeah.
But I was shy, right?
Yeah. How old are you there?
20.
I would have charity fucked you for sure.
You're really? So cute.
Look at the little jacket, like little Soviet jacket.
That wasn't as bad as I thought it was going
to
be.
Yeah.
You look adorable.
And then I used to do like little weird things. Like this is another photo I took of me and my brother Steve. You know, I used to wear like little suspenders like this.
Oh my gosh. You're so fun.
Yeah, yeah.
Dude, you're like fit.
You're like,
Like what?
Like, yeah, you want to say
you were very cute. I think they were wrong. I think you were 16 really years old there. You were wrong about yourself, though. Yeah. All those things that you felt feeling unfuckable, you were wrong about yourself.
You were yummy.
What you're not looking at is what's coming out of my mouth and my attitude.
Probably. Yeah.
So it's, you know, you see that photo of me, right? But what's coming out is.
But only confident guys walk around with their shirt off.
Yeah, that doesn't seem like
this is my parents' house, fuck not.
So when did you got confident? Girls started paying attention.
I did a show when Diana died. Princess Diana died.
Oh wow.
You did a charity show for her?
No.
Oh, so they invited
you. But she died.
Elton John did that. He sang Candle in the Wind.
It was Elton John and Bobby Lee.
Give it up for Elton John and Bobby Lee.
He co-headlined?
Yeah, he changed the lyrics just for her.
Yeah, yeah.
Did you not remember that?
You don't. You so really what happened was Princess Diana died, and at the Comedy Store, I was working at the Comedy Store in La Jolla. I was a doorman, and back then, Fred Burns, the manager, used to have a system. If you work the door on Saturday nights, you have two doormen. Each one of you could host the show, either one of the shows, and Stan Simmons, the guy I did the door with. He said you always do second show because it was rowdier. So Princess Diana died that week, and I was up on stage, and there was a young girl named Jennifer in the front row, and I'm doing comedy. It's not going well because you know there was like a sadness in the room. Mm. And then after the show, when everyone I was wrapping up the show after the headliner, she got up and she looked sad. So I put my hand on her back, and I go, well. I'm sorry that Princess Diana, I hope you feel better, something like that. Mm-hmm. And I went to go wash dishes and mop. And then like an hour later, Fred goes, kid, you have a phone call. Because we didn't have cell phones back then. So I went to the phone, I go, hello? And this goes, hi, I was that girl in the front row that you said, hope you feel better. I go, yeah, did you leave something, what? And she's like, no, I just think you're cute. I go, but I know, but what? What?
Did you leave something?
And she's like, no, you want to hang out? And then 4 days later, I'm at her parents' house in Oceanside. I'm in the closet, and I'm 69ing her in the closet.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Wow. Congratulations.
Right, and I'm 69ing her in the closet. And her, she was cute, too. I didn't know how to do it, so I was like doing something like that, right?
What are you, going to Matrix download?
Yeah, I was
why
like,
in the closet?
I don't know, because her mom was home.
Oh.
And I was doing it, and I remember in my head, I'm going, I can't fucking believe I'm doing this.
So you're saying some good things came out of Princess Diana's death.
Ooh.
Yeah.
It wasn't all bad.
Silver
lining, yeah.
So was that the first, like, hookup you had from doing stand-up, where you were like, before? Yeah.
I lived off of prostitutes.
Good for you.
Why?
Because I feel like if guys aren't getting laid, they shouldn't just wait.
Yeah.
If, like, they should practice leading up to when they get the confidence to take it out there.
Mm. And I can't.
And they should get prostitutes.
I can't say the name because I got in trouble. Remember when I said the name?
Of?
The guy that.
Oh, yeah, who used to take you.
There was this old man that used to take me.
Old man.
There was an older man who. I can't even get into the details of it because he's listening probably right now. But I've talked about it on Tiger Belly. And one day he calls me out of nowhere. I haven't talked to this guy in 30 years, 25 years. He goes, hey, I got your number from, you know, 5 or 6 different like ways of getting it. Mm-hmm. And he goes, I'm a clergyman now. And I'm also a part of the student. Like assembly. Like he's a government official or something.
Yeah.
He's a
small wow.
Man. And I have grandchildren. I remember doing that was fun, right? It was fun doing that. You know, I remember, but can you just not say my name ever again?
Stop saying it over and over.
Over and over, because you said my name like 15 times. Oh, and I'm a clergyman, you know what I mean? And I'm like, oh, fuck, remember? I'm like, my bad, dude. Sorry. And I just hung up.
Did you lose your virginity to a prostitute?
Mm-mm.
No. Oh.
He was 10th in line.
I was 10th in line. I remember and this. I'm just going to throw that out. Babe, the way you said that, the way you just fucking said that, you spit in my fucking face.
I did. That was, I wanted to spit in your face.
Yeah. She said it very sweetly. No, he was 10th in line.
Yeah.
She was almost proud of you.
I was the last one in line. Yeah.
Oh, it was 10 out of 10. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, it was one girl.
I feel like she was very progressive. Whoever that girl was to think that I want 10 in me now.
Dude, wow. I want to watch that video.
Yeah. Well, yeah. This was, they were all in high school, so
but
maybe
I'm
not.
Gonna say this. One of the guys I never told you this. One of the guys in line.
I really want to watch that.
One of the guys in line when I was in my first rehab. So one of the guys in line, in that line, I went to rehab, and then my friend from high school visited me at the rehab, and he goes, that guy has AIDS. And I remember being in the rehab going, I'm going to die from AIDS. But I didn't have it.
You were 10th in line. How did this go down? I know you.
I don't want this girl because I'm sure she's great, and I'm sure she's a clergywoman.
Everyone you have sex with is a clergy person.
Okay. She's a clergywoman now. Yeah, but she was just like this heavier set girl who was kind of lonely, and I was on the wrestling team, and she just kind of had sex with a bunch of guys.
How did this go down though?
Like, it was at a party.
Okay,
I was with the wrestling team at a party.
And she was like, just come on over.
Yeah, and we were all in a room.
Good for her.
And I just kind of remember waiting in line.
I got my...
Like it was that Disneyland.
Thursday morning planned out. Yeah.
No fast pass.
Yeah, no fast pass. Also, it's like, shouldn't the smaller guy go first? But it went from heavier to small.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is not fair. Next time, reverse it.
By the time you got there, was she over it? Was she still...
No, I think she really... Because I remember a couple hours before that, the lights went off in the party. And she grabbed my head and she made out with me.
Oh, you're sweet. The favorite. She was into me.
In a weird way.
I cannot believe.
Yeah.
10 guys.
Yeah. So I don't know what happened to her, and I hope she's doing great. You know,
clergywoman.
Sorry about that.
She's a clergywoman.
She's with the Lord.
I don't have to apologize. She made out with you.
She put up some numbers that
guy.
God,
the stats.
I mean, it took me 10 years to get 10.
Wow. She probably wanted to go to college having, you know, wanting to say that number. How many guys have you been in? 10.
You're right.
And
she got it one night. Yeah, you're right.
There was a girl in high school that was an English girl. She was a foreign exchange student. And she was really pretty. And she was the only one in high school that wanted to go out with me. But in my head, she sounded weird, her voice. Because I just never heard an English accent before or whatever. That's what threw me off.
Oh, wow.
Isn't that fucking weird?
Yeah.
It's weird.
There were so many moments in my life where I wish I had back. That and also that guy in Nashville that grabbed me at that restaurant.
Oh, pull up your pants.
Yeah. I still think about that every day.
You would that guy, though? What? Do you want to talk about it? Or?
Yeah. I was at a restaurant. Okay.
Yeah, get closer to me.
And I want to say it because it has to do with, you know, and it's nothing you. You're one of the good whites. He's a good white, too. This guy, I love this guy back here. I love him.
He's not even paying attention.
But
he's trying to get a shot.
You're fired. you're fucking fired from this fucking podcast.
He was talking to you while you were trying to adjust the camera and do something good for the show, and he addressed you and you did not reply. You're fired.
I was at a restaurant.
Yes.
And I was sitting there with a friend from AA. I'm in Alcoholics Anonymous. I don't know if you know this. And she had just moved there, and I was eating dinner, and I was sitting on a stool, right? We're on a high table, and all of a sudden I feel something, a gigantic white hand with like rings, and he's pulling me toward him. And I look to my left, and there's a guy in a black jacket. He's an old white man, and he pulled me closer to him. He goes, "Son, pull up your pants."
What?
And I go, "Okay, I'm sorry." And I did that, and he sat back down. In the whole dinner, I was just like, why did I do that?
Oh, yeah.
Why did I let this guy talk to me in that way?
Touch you.
And I did it. And there was another guy, which brings up another story. I was in Texas, and I said something to Carlos Mencia. I was with Carlos. We're walking. I go, fuck that. This is when I used to open for Carlos.
Yeah.
And this man came up to me and goes, how dare you? Don't swear in public. And I go, sorry.
Yeah.
Like, I let... white older dudes tell me how to react in society, mm-hmm. and I say this. I say this to the world and beyond. I will no longer allow that to happen.
Nope.
I will stick up to myself.
Is this a resolution?
It's a resolution. Give me the ridge wallet. So Nikki, I know Theo Von gave you a ridge wallet.
Yeah.
But what'd you do with it? You don't have it anymore, so what'd you do with it? So Theo Von, my friend, gave you a Ridge wallet.
Yeah.
And then what happened?
I definitely left it behind in the hotel room.
A nice hotel,
for the maid.
Probably.
For the maid.
See?
Yeah.
There you go.
So you don't have a wallet.
I do not. I have a Sephora gift card purse that the gift card came in that I'm using as my wallet.
Look at that. We got you that too. Yeah.
So this right here. Okay. All right. I'm going to show you how it works.
Tell me, yeah, because no, Theo didn't show me how it worked. So it was just like.
All right. I'm going to show you. Okay.
Ridge wallet.
So this is a Ridge wallet.
Whoa.
Okay. So all my cards go into this little pocket here.
Okay.
And this is a money clip.
Yeah.
Right? So this is pretty much how it is. But tell them about this, the LDS one.
Wait, hold on. Show her how to pull. Okay. Push on the
All right, so basically what it is to get your money, your cards out, see that little thing?
Mm-hmm.
You just stick your finger out like that, and you can pull it out like
this. Oh, okay? Cool.
It's very tight.
It's compact.
Okay. It's compact. And you also have these little tools that you can, with this, you know, to loosen it if you want.
Okay.
And
what about my CVS receipt? Where will I stuff that? Because that's definitely clip. What I will always... Oh, in your money clip. Okay. Mm-hmm.
You would put it in your money clip, okay. Right? And then let me see if I have a receipt.
Or just keep that whole thing in your purse.
Yeah.
Why don't I just... Do the
but anyway,
where do I put my passport? Because I don't have a driver's license right now, and I have to use my passport. So
this is not a fucking for passport.
Okay.
All right. So, but let me ask you this: I will give you a Ridge wallet. This is the greatest wallet.
I would love one.
No, listen. Fucking, this is the greatest wallet I've ever used.
I believe
you. They're a sponsor of mine,
mm-hmm.
and I really believe wholeheartedly in this what do you call it? In this thing?
Wallet?
His wallet.
Yeah.
And I would like to give you one, but if you leave it somewhere, it'll upset me.
I can't promise you that I won't do that. I have a passport right now, and so I need a wallet that fits.
Okay.
Do you have a purse?
The next time I come do this, I hope to have a driver's license instead of a passport.
Fuckface. I'm going to say something to you, fuckface.
I just want to be honest with you.
I understand the fuckface. There is no fucking wallet that holds a fucking passport, you fucking idiot.
There's tons. I have one right now.
There is?
Really? Can I see what that looks like?
Let's see what it looks like.
A wallet?
Is it a Sephora makeup pouch?
Yes.
So it's not really a wallet.
It's not really a...
It works perfectly.
Yeah, but it's not a wallet, you fucking ding-ding.
My girlfriend has 20 of those.
Yeah. Oh, then, I see.
You know, but
look at your cards.
Yeah,
but look at your cards, though.
You know what? I'm just going to give you this, and then you do what you want.
I will but take it, and I best. Will hold on to it.
Well, give it to Carlisle.
Okay, I will. I will give it to Carlisle.
Can I say she
Forrester.
Opened for me, your friend?
I know.
I love her.
I love her. She loves
you. She did
you
a
so
great
much.
Job.
She loves you guys.
And I will use her again.
Yes, good.
Yeah, I will. And she's a nice girl.
She you know? Cares. She works hard, and she's funny.
So at the end of this thing, we do a thing called unhelpful advice.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, we have an email. So we have, you know, we get emails, and people go through problems, and we give them advice. It doesn't have to be helpful.
Okay.
Unhelpful advice with Bobby, Kalilah, and Nikki Glazer.
So I wasn't going to read this question, but I think because something Nikki said, I think she would. This girl would get a lot of help from Nikki. Hi, I'm a 26-year-old girl. I'm very suicidal because I hate my job and I'm antisocial, so I have very few friends. I spend most of my free time writing songs on the piano and making art, but I'm not good enough to be a full-time successful artist, so I have to keep my 9-to-5 job. I feel like I'm no longer able to socialize and be natural and open to people. I think I might have Asperger's. Mm. I feel trapped in my office job, and I just don't see the point of living.
Oh, my God.
I used to be a happy child. I started being depressed during my teenage years and never really got out of this phase. I lost the past 5 years of my life being depressed, a piece of shit. Do you have any unhelpful advice for me to turn my life
Tons.
Around?
Tons.
Is it a woman?
It is. 26-year-old girl.
Okay.
Where does she start?
Oh, you want to start?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Boom. Okay. Been there, girl. Feel it. Felt all those feelings. Two things. First of all, if you can afford therapy, go to it.
Mm.
If you can afford it, do it. If someone in your life is willing to front the bill for you to feel better, maybe ask them, give them a little Shark Tank presentation about why it's going to change your life. They can invest in you going to therapy. If that's not going to happen for you, if you can't find someone to talk to or pay someone, get a book called Feeling Good by Dr. Something Burns. But it's about
Burns.
It's cognitive Steve Burns. It's a book about cognitive behavioral therapy, and it's about changing your thoughts because a lot of times we think that our emotions, our depression is we're depressed, and so our thoughts then become sad, suicidal thoughts, thoughts like I'm worthless, thoughts that I should end it all, no one loves me, I'm lonely, I'm not good at anything. Mm. A lot of times you think that depression causes that, when really your thoughts, those thoughts that you're saying over in your head are causing your depression. So all you have to do is stop those thoughts, and there's a method to do that. And when you stop those thoughts, the feeling, the emotion of depression will also dissipate. Mm. And it like doesn't seem like, it seems like hogwash, and there's a million reasons why you can convince yourself it won't work for you. But all I'm asking you to do, instead of buying that book feeling good, if you're not ready to do that, which you should just order it now and have it on hand because you will want to read it once, watch the TED Talk from that, what's his name, David Burns?
Yes, his name is Dr. David D. Burns.
Watch his TED Talk, David D. Burns, and he kind of talks about cognitive behavioral therapy, how it works, and one of the biggest things is people go, no, you don't understand, I'm so much more sad, I'm different, I actually am worthless, I actually don't, I have Asperger's, all the things you're saying that are like, no, I deserve to kill myself, I deserve to not be on this planet. You're not original in thinking that. Everyone that has your type of depression thinks that, and it is treatable, and you just have to change your thoughts. And I didn't think I could do it, but I could do it, I'd do it. And I also really recommend getting a meditation app and starting a meditation practice, because that is dope and so life-changing, and it really can like reverse your depression, like reverse it. I know I'm going off on a tangent, but no, a year ago I was in her shoes, wanted to kill myself, wanted to like go put myself away.
A year ago.
Jeez. And my life was great. Everything was going well, but I just couldn't get out of it. I was just in a funk, and my thoughts were just like, dude, kill yourself, wow, like all the time. And it was getting to the point where I was telling friends and being like, well, someone intervene, like, because I'm not feeling, not that I was never even close to doing anything about it, but it was further than the thoughts had ever gotten. Yeah. And I was like, no, I hate this. I don't want to live this way, because you just wake up and you feel that way and you can't get out of it. But what I did was I started meditating, because I heard that meditation was helpful for depression. And I was like, I got nothing left to lose. I had already been trained in transcendental meditation years before. So I was like, I'll pick that back up again. But what I recommend is an app called Waking Up. And it's Sam Harris's app.
Love it.
Wow.
And Sam Harris's app, I've been doing TM for a year, and that totally lifted my depression, transcendental meditation. Mm-hmm. You can look into that, but you have to get trained. It's thousands of dollars. There's a lot of like loops to jump through. If you have the money, 100% worth it. But if you don't, this app called Waking Up, it is costly, but it is like it's like $15 a month, I think now. And I swear to God, I know that's a lot for an app, but it's life-saving. And his meditations are 8 minutes a day that you can start on, and they already are giving me as much benefit as I used to get from 40 minutes of meditation. They're that good. Mm. And I love this app. And it's I will get depressed if I take 2 days off of this app, I start to feel the thoughts creep in. So Waking Up, the app by Sam Harris, listen to his lessons on there, listen to the meditations, get the book Feeling Good, and then to be convinced to get the book Feeling Good, go watch the TED Talk. The first thing you should do is watch the TED Talk.
David E. Burns.
David E.
Burns. And I think that you're right in terms of, it isn't just one thing that's causing your depression or your suicidal ideation. I think it's a collection of things. So start to chip at those things before you kind of, like for me, you know, I've been in a lockup facility 3 times because that's how many times I tried to off myself. You know, I was on meds for a really long time, but now I'm 34 and I'm not on any meds. Mm-hmm. And I still have my blues. They still come around. I don't want to cure that. I know it's something that I have to live with, but I can live with it. Mm. So you just have to get to that point to where you anticipate that it is going to come. You're going to have shitty moments and shitty times, but that you can get through it and live to see another day. And it's just multiple little things that you have to chip away at. One can be meditation. One can be, you know, exercise.
Exercise is so huge.
One can be seeing a therapist and, you know, possibly getting on meds that you feel good about.
Yeah.
And all those little elements eventually could, you know, get you to a point where you're not constantly thinking about, you know, offing yourself.
Yeah, it's I think you're right. There's so many different things that you can just start, small things, but things that I just would never have thought. I'm an intelligent person. It sounds like you are too. You just think, I'm depressed, my thoughts are shitty because I'm depressed and it's a chemical in my brain, but truly your thoughts are making you fucking depressed and you can change your thoughts.
I should have said my advice before yours.
I know, you can't call
now. Because now, what I'm about to say, what I'm about to say, it doesn't make any fucking sense.
Okay. All right. Okay.
But I'm going to still try to do it.
I like it.
Everyone, rewind, pretend.
Pretend.
He's the first one.
This is what I want to say. All right. I went home with my parents, my brother and I.
Oh, yeah.
We spent 4 days with my parents. My dad is, he's dying. Mm-hmm. He can't eat. Mm-hmm. You know, everyone knows he's stroked out. And he has to be moved everywhere. He can't really move. You can't understand a word he's saying. And my mom is a 24-hour nurse. That's all she is now. And they're alone in this house in Phoenix, Arizona, and she's doing it on her own. It's really sad. So my brother and I went to hang out and help out, my mom loves, you know, Korean dramas and TV shows and whatnot. So I wanted to get her hooked on Game of Thrones. Okay, so we've been watching Game of Thrones, and she loves it. But you understand, I have seen all of them. Mm-hmm. She's only seen the first season. So she sees Arya Stark. She loves Arya Stark, right? And, like, you know, she saw what happened to her and all that stuff. And she's dirty. She had to cut her hair, right? And she's about to, the next 3 or 4 or 5 seasons, she's about to struggle hard and fight. But I know it works out for her because I'm further in the seasons, right? And in my head, it's like, in my 20s, they too were very depressing. And I didn't know that I was ever going to become, you know, a successful comedian and TV, all the stuff that I have, podcasts, a beautiful girl, great girl, intelligent girlfriend, one of the best people in the whole world.
Thank you.
She's angel, angel eyes.
Top 10 girlfriend.
Need more, please.
Right, right. Tight pussy, you know, the whole fucking thing, you know what I mean?
Nice.
All right.
Yeah, yeah. But I didn't know, you know, in my 20s, I was this blubbering kid. I used to, very depressed, suicidal, hated myself. And, you know, and all the things that Nikki said is true. You need, you know, I don't have any advice when it comes to that. But what I can say is that I relate to you. And what I can also say is that, you know, a lot of times in pockets of people's lives, it's hard. And you have no money. You don't know what you want to do with your life. It's a struggle. And you have these old tapes in your head, you know, saying that you're worthless and whatnot. And I obviously have gone through that. And much like Arya Stark, I know that it works out for her, right? Mm-hmm. But a lot of times you need to see the struggle. You need to live through it and the doubts and all that. And what I want to say to you is if you don't give up and you try, you know, you try things. You said you're doing art. You don't think you're very good. Whatever you do creatively, still do it.
Yes.
Right? Because, you know, I watch Antique Roadshow.
It's our favorite.
It's my favorite thing to do. You know that, right? Do you know that about me?
Yeah.
I've seen every single Antique Roadshow on YouTube.
We watch it over and over again, and we cry.
And there was a guy. There was a guy on there. I swear to God, there was a guy, and he goes, "Well, I got this."
The yurt? Not the yurt. The ute.
No, it wasn't that. It was a wall. He used to work in New York, and there was like a part of a wall.
Okay.
And he basically cut it out, and it was a crown and just some scribbles. It literally looked like, I'm going to show you, do it right now. Give me a piece of paper. Piece of paper. It looked like this. I swear to fucking God. It looked like this.
Bobby's just drawing like scribbles.
This.
He's drawing scribbles for audio.
So I have this. I saw Basquiat do this.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, yeah, yeah. Probably in today's market, $150,000 for this piece of shit. Right? But what I'm saying is that I'm sure it's great. Yeah. You know what I mean? But like Basquiat just did his thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure when he first did it on walls in New York, in alleyways, people were like, you know, people like old guys that don't know the new shit is going, what the fuck, you know, right? But just do it.
Or this girl could truly suck at those two things and not be good at all. She truly could. Yeah. And that's okay too.
That's okay.
That doesn't mean you're
not. No, make millions of dollars.
That doesn't
mean. If you suck, then.
But you aren't good at something you have no idea that you're good at. You might be a great friend. You might be a great. Yep.
There you go.
The best at, like, there's something you can truly sell. And you might be the best to you. Like, just, it doesn't matter if you're not Basquiat.
I wish I would have said my thing before your fucking thing.
No, your thing with was the apps so and the fucking thing.
It made me like, it made me feel like shit doing it.
Mine was like a cause.
I swear to fucking, you can't come onto my show, right, and say like fucking cosmic fucking reading.
The most helpful advice.
About the most helpful advice that you ever had.
I just
and then I have the stupid fucking thing that I was going to say. So next time, and from now on, next time, before the fucking guest says their fucking shit, I say mine. That's fucking bullshit, Nikki. Listen.
Also, what's her name? One more thing.
She, no name.
I don't find people who've lived peachy lives interesting
at all. The worst.
I don't relate to them. I don't understand them. I don't find them to be full of character. Yeah. They're boring. So, yes, what Bobby says, sometimes the pain and struggle just builds you into something you're not even realizing.
The best people I meet, like the coolest people, have like the worst parents. Mm-hmm. Like the worst, like they've been through, like I knew you were cool already meeting you. I was just like, oh, I like her. And then when you were like, I've been locked up 4 times, I'm like, yep, verified. You're so much more interesting than anyone else who hasn't had that. Like that makes you so much cooler. And this girl writing that email, like what you've been through, you already have a fascinating story of survival if you've gotten through feeling that way and having those dark of thoughts and being able to write into a podcast and like ask for advice. I mean, you're cool. You passed the test.
Yeah, just don't hurt yourself.
Don't.
Please don't. I know you listen to my podcast. I know I'm special. I know that I'm a leader, cosmic in many ways, energy, pure, pure and simple. Be my friend. Walk down the street with me, right? Let the sunbeam caress your face through light and honor.
Yeah, yeah.
As we create magic.
We should wrap this up by, do we do New Year's resolutions at all? Is that a thing we do?
Oh, yeah, do you have one?
Do you have one?
I was going to try to cost less.
Are you being real?
Really?
Yeah.
On stage or in a...
Just in life. I just cost too much. Yeah. It's too easy. I want to savor it.
Whoa, that's a good one.
Cuss less, come more.
Do you think that... Yes. Oh, nice. Yes. Do you think it's going to feel good when you finally do cuss?
Yes. Yes. I still am cussing right now. I'm catching myself, but because I'm so aware of it, I correct myself right away. So I hope to get to no cussing.
What's yours, sweetie?
Mine's so fucking dumb that like, and I did it today, and I said that's the last time I do it.
What?
Well, we have a new wardrobe department at the show that I'm on.
Oh yeah.
And I'm meeting them, and then we're just talking. I'm making everyone laugh in the room and whatnot, and I just basically say, "Call me a gook."
Oh, you do that all the
time. You force people to say the word.
I force people to say, "Call me a gook," and then they're like, "Why?" I go, I don't know. I get off on it.
Really?
Yeah, it's weird. And they're like, no, we're not doing that.
Yeah.
And then like I left the wardrobe feeling like, why did I just do that? That was fucking weird.
Yeah. Yeah. Specific resolution.
I'm just saying
stop
that.
Saying call me a goof.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, it's a start.
Yeah,
start
yeah,
there.
Yeah, yeah. But it's like I get off on
you know that old one. Such a classic.
Stop asking people to call me a goof.
Yeah. So that's my New Year's resolution. So Kalila. What do you think?
I don't want to say mine anymore.
Say yours.
Standard and boring.
Mine doesn't compete with yours.
I'm wanting to get back to basics.
I play this game with time. If I have to get there at 2 p.m., I don't want to get there at 1:58. I don't want to get there at 2:01. I want to get there at 2 p.m. So I like to time things in my head to where I get there exactly at that time. And I can't do that anymore because I'm always late or I'm always early. And it never works out to my advantage.
Yeah.
And most of the time, it's usually just late.
Yeah. Mm.
And I need to stop doing that, playing that stupid game. I think it's an OCD thing.
It sounds like it.
Yeah.
Yeah. What's yours, Gilbert?
Very simple. Be consistent.
With what?
A lot of things. I start a lot of things.
Womp, womp, womp.
I want people to stop calling me a gook.
There you go.
Now
we're on the right track. You fucking Chinaman.
Feels good.
Filipino, come on, babe.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
Give us some credit.
What? I know. So here's the thing, my real one. That was just a kid. I was just kidding, guys.
But you should stop doing. You should stop doing. You actually. I feel like I want that one.
You
kind of. Yeah, yeah.
You seem kind of tormented by it.
Yeah. What I really want to do is, I want to stop thinking that I'm some sort of mind reader.
Yeah.
Oh.
You know, like the future. You know, when I show up in the room, I go, yeah, I know what they're thinking. You know, they hate me.
Yeah.
Mm. Or they're feeling this. Or sometimes they go to the comedy store. Yeah, Joe Rogan really hates me. And like, it's based on nothing.
Nothing.
It's just some sort of, in my head, building up scenarios that don't really even exist. And then I go through these torturous, you know, moments in bed where I'm laying there and I go into this, like, you know, and I just want to stop doing that. It's like, I'm 47 fucking years old. I'm going to be dead soon. I'm done with that. All right. And here's another thing.
I want you to stop being a people pleaser.
What do you mean?
Yeah.
I think that you're a renegade in so many ways, and I like all those parts about you, but there are certain situations where I feel like you have to walk away feeling liked. And who cares if they like you or not? That's not the point.
I know.
And you always have that. That's why you have those conversations with yourself. Well, what did I say? Did they like me? Did they not? I'm like, who gives a shit?
Like today, what happened was, I'm going to just say it. This guy from a different agency, all right? Has been trying to get me in his agent for years.
Interesting.
So he'll show up at the Comedy Store. He'll call me every other month. And I appease him by going, oh, yeah, you think I'll work more? Instead of going, hey, man, stop calling me.
Yeah.
I have an awesome rep.
Right. But in my head, I'm like, if I don't do,
then he won't like me. And right. Maybe I will someday need him.
Right. Some crazy thing. You know what I mean?
If anything, though, yeah. He'll want you more if you just really have boundaries.
Yeah.
People love boundaries.
Yeah, people love what they can't have.
People don't like you when you are needy and want to be liked.
Yeah.
And the thing is, if someone doesn't like you, they're wrong because you're cool and nice.
If
you truly know that about yourself, and like, I think a lot of us, because when I'm like, oh, someone doesn't like me, I'm like, they know the real me, which is a sociopath or what, like all these things we think about ourselves and we're like, they don't like me, but it's not true. Like, I'm a good person. So if you don't like me, it's kind of your problem.
Yeah.
And I can't change it. And I don't know that I want to. And all I can do is, and it's none of your business what people think about you. Remember that.
Yeah.
That's one's a good one to remember.
Well, I'm going to be honest with you, Nikki. I didn't know you that well. And so, you know, I get a little apprehensive, you know, when I don't know somebody that well that's on the podcast. But I have to say that the time went by so quickly that there's so many other things I wanted to talk about with you, which is also a good sign. And it was a very easy, free-flowing podcast. You were great.
Thank you. And
we would love to have you back on one day.
I love that. And I would love to be on again.
And it's a little hurtful that you've never asked me to be on. It's fine. Your podcast was fine.
I have a radio show every day. Okay. Sirius.
You don't have to, like, you do?
And I do. I have a radio show every single morning. If you have Sirius or a rental car, I have
so true.
On Comedy Central Radio every single morning for 2 hours, and I would love to have you on. It's from 7 to 9 in the morning in LA, so you'd have to come by the studio from that time.
Wow.
But I would love you as a guest.
You have it tomorrow?
Yeah, I have it tomorrow.
Oh, my God. Where is it at?
On Wilshire.
Wow.
Like,
that's crazy.
Just a little bit west of here.
That's
amazing. Yeah.
Yeah. So you do it Monday through Friday?
Monday through Thursday for 2 hours every morning. Wow.
And then do you go home and sleep to do gigs at night?
No, I go out and go to meetings and live my life. And then I do stand up at night and then I never sleep. And then hopefully I sleep on Saturdays.
It's amazing.
Wow.
Well, you know, let me say something. You're a professional. You're a nice person. You're very funny. And this is just the beginning for you.
Thank you.
I'm such a fan of yours.
I can't believe I'm friends with you. And
I feel like
we're friends now.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's just like, it's cool to know people that early on you were like, he's the funny. Like, it's just nice. You're so great.
Give her a round of applause. She was great.
Your girlfriend.
You cannot leave because we have to take a photo.
Carla is awesome.
Nikki, Carla
said you were awesome.
Where can people follow you? Where can we all look up your stuff?
Nikki Glaser, at Nikki Glaser. Nikki Glaser on Instagram.
You want to plug anything?
NikkiGlaser.com. I'm going to be in Austin, Texas this weekend.
At Cap City?
Yep. And what's Tacoma next weekend? Dallas coming up. Portland. So many dates.
Nikki, you're doing helium in Portland?
Mm-hmm.
Let me ask you something just real quick before you go.
Yeah.
Do you like the road?
Yeah.
You do?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. It's fun?
Yeah.
Wow.
I love it.
I wish I could have fun.
You don't have fun?
I dread it. I do it all the time.
I just don't have fun. I just like, I like the escape of it. No one can get to you. Your days are yours. It's kind of isolating. I bring a guy to open for me who's a really good friend.
Who?
So his name's Andrew Collin. You met him the other night at the Comedy Store.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I like him.
So funny.
Yeah.
And I just, and he hangs out when I want to. And when I don't want to, I can just be alone and not have to, like, there's no one I'm in town that I need to see. So you don't feel like, but you can just stay in your hotel room all day. I love that.
Are you a UTA girl? What are you? CA? Where are you?
UTA.
You're at UTA?
I had to think because I'm like just switched, yes.
That's a great company.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you know Greg Kavik, Jason Heyman, all those
guys? I just switched, so they're all my new guys. Yeah.
Kavik?
Yeah.
Kavik used to be my guy.
Really?
He's a great guy.
He seems he really like a great guy.
Oh, yeah,
good.
I love him. Heyman, I love all those guys.
I'm glad I made a good decision.
That's a great decision.
Thank you.
Yeah, yeah. I'm at CA, but it's fine. Anyway, thanks for listening.
Yeah.
Okay.
We'll be back in a bit with some housekeeping. What a great episode. And we are back with some housekeeping.
What a wonderful one. What a wonderful, wonderfuls.
Wonderful.
What a wonderful.
Looks like we got some real papayas in the house.
Hey, man. I love it. We got real papayas, January 2018 here.
Boom.
And I'm going to read them because there are, we love all of you, but we love these ones too. Okay? And these are the ones we're going to mention. These are the real papayas of 2000 Januaries. Bon Johnson, B-H-A-N Johnson.
Oh, like Bon Mi.
Yeah, yeah, from the Johnson family crew. We have Hafiz from Singapore. We love him.
Great guy.
He's always here in our hearts. And I got a tattoo on my ankle that says
Hafiz from Singapore.
H-F-S, which means
from Singa.
Hafiz from Singa. Juan J. Aguirre.
Almost. Good job.
Fuck you, lady. I got it.
Hey, guy.
I love you, Juan.
Oh, what's that mean?
I don't know.
It's a blessing.
It's a blessing. We have Laszlo Tatai. Tatai. That's for you. We got Melvin Flores. Flores, which means in Spanish, flower.
Mm-hmm. True.
And Melvin in Spanish means Mike. Millie. We have Millie Lee from the Millie Lee clan.
That's so cute. Do they call her Lily? Because it's Millie Lee.
Yeah.
That didn't make sense.
No, no.
But you really liked it.
Her middle name is Eel. Millie Eel Lee.
Ooh.
That's not funny or anything. But I love you.
He loves you. He loves you, though.
I love you, though, Millie. Nick Rempel. Rempel
Stillskin. Thinking the same thing.
Did you?
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to think something different next time.
Okay. Who was Rempel Stillskin?
He was an arbitrator of thoughts.
The guy that did the
Millennium.
The thread.
My thread.
What happened?
Fuck him.
He killed someone?
Rachel Wilkins. We're moving on from that. We have Rachel Wilkins. I love you, Rachel. We have... Oh, Sanzi Siraj. He's always there. Sanzi Siraj is a good man. Spencer Brown.
Spencer is new, I think.
He's new but fresh.
I love that name, Spencer.
I love Spencer Brown.
So classic.
And we have Stephen Lee, who? Not my brother. Not my brother, though.
No.
It would be. It's impossible. It couldn't be Steve.
Your brother was contributing to our Patreon?
There's no way. Stephen Lee, change your name. Okay?
He added the N.
No, I love you, Stephen. Thank you, guys.
Thank you, Real Papayas. If you guys are wondering...
Babe, you're still attached.
If you're wondering what those Real Papayas were, we love you guys so much. And we love, I know, the whole Slep Kingdom. But we love those guys.
We love these guys just a little more.
Just a little bit extra. And if you're wondering, like, what's that all...
We love them all. What's Come that? On. We love all
Wait,
you
don't
guys.
Speak for me. I love these guys just a little bit more. I think Gilbert loves them just a little bit more, too.
Them. But guys, you could check out, if you're curious what that is, you could check out our Patreon at patreon.com/tigerbelly just to learn a little bit more about that. Hey guys, what is George wearing?
Oh, what?
That looks great on you.
You have a really good head, dude.
That's a great head on you.
Me and Kalila, not so much. New Year's resolution, let's get new heads.
Let's get new heads. My head's fucking weird shape.
It's a new Tiger Belly beanie for those who are on audio.
Oh, that's right. And it's a great color.
Kala chose the color.
It, yeah.
It's great. What is that? A maroon?
Maroon. Mm-hmm. Also, material ain't cheap, folks. Just so you know.
It's
Very nice.
We got some feels expensive.
When does this come out?
This will come out mysteriously. Will be announced on IG. But sometime in, when you hear this, maybe like 3 days or 4 days.
Hold on 1 second. Let's say I'm not on IG. How am I supposed to know?
Oh, wait. I don't think the Celeb Kingdom knows about that, because I got some messages hitting me up where, what happened to Kalila's IG stories?
But I feel like I never put stories anyways. I sometimes
do. You do a Bobby. That's what people are wondering. So do you want to...
Oh, since we wrapped, we put a lot of episodes in the bank because Gilbert and George needed to go home for the holidays.
Yeah.
I decided that I would just take a break off of the internet. Except for Facebook Messenger, because that's how family from the Philippines contacts me. And I was in contact with one Tiger Belly fan. His name's Joe Sarney, who just happens to message me on Messenger.
Crazy.
And because I don't have any other forms of social media, I felt like that was my only connection. Yeah. So I was writing long paragraphs to him because to get my fill off of like existing on the internet.
I'm so happy you did that. That's awesome.
But we were talking, his dog just had knee surgery, like Remy. So anyways, I've been off social media for almost a month now, I guess.
Awesome. Yeah. You know who else is doing that right now because of the backlash of that Netflix show is the actor Will Poulter.
Who's that?
He's the guy in that new Netflix, what's it called, Bryce? Bandersnatch, the interactive Netflix thing.
Oh, right.
Apparently people were hating on it and they were attacking him for it. So he's like, for my mental health, I need to get off social media.
Yeah, but you know what? It made me want to do more. It made me want to call friends again.
Oh, wow.
So I was calling people on the phone. Like, I was getting annoyed with people text messaging me. I used to think that I always want to text because it's just more convenient for me, because I always think I'm doing something else because you're on social media. And I always think that I never have to call friends because I know what they're doing through their stories. So because I don't have access to that, I was actually phoning people and talking to them for 2 hours and saying, hey, let's catch up. And also, it's just been kind of... I need to get back on it this week, though. So my mental health might decline again.
If you feel happy, I say continue it, man.
You think so?
Seriously,
But I also don't want to be... There are people that I do connect with online, like even some of... You know, some relationships I've built some fans of Tiger Belly that are meaningful and really genuine that I still want to keep in contact
with.
Give
them your Facebook Messenger number,
give them my
or give them a Google Voice number.
Oh, maybe. That's true. I'll let you guys regulate it. Yeah. Tell me when I need to come back.
Yeah.
You don't want me back yet.
Hey, they're saying that she's spanking body. Claude, check out it online. Your workouts are working.
I feel like I'm missing all the Bird Box memes.
I'll say this. I feel like because you are not on social media, you seem like to be working out a lot more. Like you told me and George your like workout regimen.
Mm-hmm.
Are you competing in the Olympics? Every day this woman is doing something.
I sent a picture of my body to Gilbert.
Yeah, I was like, I've never seen her tries that large before.
It's all it's big. It's just my triceps.
But seriously, like, aren't you doing kind of like almost something every day now, right? A workout, basically. Maybe not the same thing.
I was always doing it, you guys. But you guys just never noticed.
Okay, maybe.
Because I don't talk about it.
Yeah, now she sends pictures.
I also think it's obnoxious when people go to the gym and they have to fucking announce it all the time. That to me is obnoxious. I feel like you're not really doing it for yourself. You're doing it for some kind of like... people argue because people are like, well, you know, it inspires others, which is great. Now you get that side of it.
I know. You inspired me from when you were that picture. I was like, oh, God. But I was going to send you a picture of me and be like, oh, God.
She did send me a picture of you.
I have a worse picture.
Did you draw your abs in? Because your abs are actually there.
Ooh.
Yeah, I did that app where I squeezed it.
Oh, really?
No. I'm going to send you a picture. I feel like I was afraid to send it to you because I was afraid you were going to post it. It's really bad. And it's like,
how can I post it? I'm not on social media.
But you're going to be back on it soon.
No, Gilbert, come on. We just agreed and then now you're going against it?
Now.
Really, Gil?
Do you like me better off?
Yeah, I think it's healthier.
I like it whenever you're happy. That's what I like.
Do I seem happy?
You do seem happy. You are glowing. You look like you're pregnant, but not pregnant.
How do you know I'm not? With ba, child. Ba,
ba.
No, I have to get back on it because it's still at the end of the day. You know, we're a business, guys.
Yeah. Like, basically, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Are there any... I mean, I feel like we haven't done one of these in so long. Are there any, like, shout-outs that we didn't get to do from the past 3 weeks?
I've only been in contact with one person, and that's Joe Sarney.
Well, do a shout out to him.
I want to give a shout out to the only person I've been in contact with on the internet whose dog just had knee surgery. I hope your dog feels better. And I hope your wife feels better. She has like anxiety and stuff. Mm. So that's all I have to report.
Because Clala has no more online friends.
I have no friends.
George, anything? I'm sure we'll talk about it another podcast, but any quick stories from your crazy travels?
No, not right now. We'll save it for Patreon.
Want to save it for Patreon?
We should save it for Patreon because we're going to have guests the next couple of weeks, right?
Yeah.
So we can talk about it on the Patreon.
Can we tease one of them, George?
No, it'll be more interesting just saying we're going to talk about it.
Okay.
I don't know.
I meant the guests, but yeah.
Everybody's been... God damn it. We get to time to talk about me, and I wanted to talk about me more. Bisping is finally coming up next week, guys. Everybody's asking since we did announce that last year, so...
we announced it premature.
They have to get hair and makeup done for that episode.
I'm going to. I'm going to get my eyebrows done for it.
I feel like this is not adequate for my Bisping.
Should I get somebody?
Should we get hair and makeup for this?
Like just full-on like pageant makeup with like the hair and everything?
All right, I sent you a picture, by the way.
Let me see. Of your body?
Yeah, this is the one that made me go, I have to just prepay all my private. Stop, Kalila. Kalila, I showed it to you as a sister to confide in you to see you.
I'm just laughing at Kalila laughing.
I
didn't even get to see the photo.
You fucking laugh at my face. I hope you go on social media and you're sad again.
Gilbert.
That's what made me go. Someone sent that to me and went.
It looks like you have... Like, not just a baby in the belly, but, like, a demon baby in the belly. Like, it's trying to fucking break its way out of your abdomen.
So, I just want to say, because of this picture, I've committed to going back on my diet, and I prepaid all my privates with, shout out to Nick, I forgot his handle, but Nick here, he's a Muay Thai trainer and personal trainer. I'm doing weights with him, and then I'm backed into Muay Thai consistently every week. So... You guys will see me with a solid body in 4 months.
Gilb,
yep.
Remember what you said. Consistency.
I know. I have people
holding
me
accountable. You can't keep doing these fucking crash keto diets.
But that's why
then,
I have a trainer to yell at me. I think I have never had that before.
No, but it's self-accountability too.
I know, but I do well with self-accountability when I have people also reminding
me. You're right, though. I do need someone to yell at me. I've been yelled at for like 15 years as, you know, when you're a swimmer, you just have somebody always telling you what the fuck to do. And I got so used to that it's hard for me to work out on my own. That's why I do fucking group workouts.
Soul Cycle, which we're all going to do, and we're going to vlog it. Bryce, you're going to come with us to Soul Cycle.
Oh, you are.
No, Bryce won't. Bryce,
his face.
You're the only one that'll talk me back into it after Bryce. Like, yeah, seeing Bryce after one soul cycle.
Yeah, Bryce got depressed for a week after a soul cycle.
No, he just couldn't walk.
Depression.
Who cares how well you do? We're doing it together as a group, as a family, because it's fun. I don't care. I'm not like looking at you and judging you.
No, but it will come up.
I saw how hard.
I know Kalila would be like on a podcast. You'd be like, "Oh, so these fucking idiots. They're like dying." Which
you're allowed to not go hard.
You're allowed to just go at your pace. Obviously, if I see that you're slacking, I will give you the side eye and say, "What are you paying money for if you're not here to fucking fail and then improve?"
The music.
Like, working out is the only thing in your life where failing is a good thing. Failing actually leads to growth.
I like it.
Failing and doing your best, even if you only have 20% energy that day, you better give 100% of that 20%. Do you know what I mean? You got to give it all. That's where you
save
leave it
all. Save some
energy
for the next day so you can work out the next day, you know? So you're walking around and you're excited to work out again.
No, but I think that the best way to get rid of that lactic acid, that initial pain when you first work out, is to force yourself the next day, to shake it out, to run it out. Believe it or not, that soreness goes away 10 minutes into your workout.
Man, dare once I say, you get warmed up. You start a fitness inspiration Instagram?
I'm horrible
hashtag
at fitness.
Beast mode, Kalila. I feel that was inspiring. I'm pumped. I don't know. It's no joke. You sending me that picture, I was like, fuck. Like, come on, Gilbert.
Sending you what?
That picture of your tricep. I know you're doing it to like, I was like, fuck. She could do it. I got to do it. So, yeah.
Let's just do it as a family, guys. It'll be fun. I'm not saying we have to do Soul Cycle. We can do
HIIT training, like berries or something. HIIT training works better for me. I'd love to send.
I already signed up for berries, but then the classes are sold out for like 3 weeks out. I think you can't
book.
That's not
true.
You can't book. I think you can't book a little bit further out or something.
Well, it's also the new year, so everyone's trying to get in shape, but all that crowd
that will die out
dies out pretty soon. Yeah. But I'm going on Wednesday with Donald, 10:45. No, he's the. They have different Barry's instructor.
No, Wednesdays I gotta finish Tiger Belly.
I just said Donald Glover. So I was like, fuck.
Fridays are my day.
But that picture I sent you, I'm gonna send you guys, all of you, a picture, an update picture every month, so you can see the transformation or the untransformation of that belly just getting longer. Anyways, enough about our bodies. Thanks again to our sponsors, 23andMe, Ridge Wallet, and Blue Apron. Buy your health and ancestry kits today at 23andme.com/tigerbelly. And start your new year right with 10% off your Ridge Wallet at ridgewallet.com and use the code BELLY. Get $60 off your meals at blueapron.com/belly. And guys, thanks to you, we are in the top 40 on iTunes Comedy Charts.
Boom.
It helps us move up the rankings to our rightful place at 17.
Comedy.
Comedy, yeah.
Yeah.
You can leave and place a review on iTunes. So sign your name for a potential shout out to have your review read on air. And if you want to mail any packages to see who remembers it, send it to
1626 North Wilcox Avenue, number 161, Hollywood, California, 90028.
That is why Kalila is on this podcast, specifically for that. Guys, that is our show. We love you very much, and we're excited for 2019.
We already announce this enough?
Yeah, you guys, the merch is coming out.
It's coming out real soon, so make sure you just keep on the IG and the Twitter and just social media.
If the website's busy, just refresh it. That means too many people are on, so but it'll refresh, it'll work good.
Cool, guys. Love you. Bye.
Bye-bye.